You're just seconds away from a return visit by the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, Jason Pfeiffer. Both Jason and I were honored to speak at the recent New York Press Association annual meeting, and he was kind enough to sit down with me for Jason Pfeiffer 2.0, why every business must think and act like an entrepreneur. Hang on, this goes fast. Jason Pfeiffer, coming up next. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of Arion HR, human resource management from onboarding to payroll to compliance. Why? Well, so you can focus on your business and make it grow faster. Learn more by going to AurionHR.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com, and the Iowa Business Journals, news and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
It is the Business News Hour, and we've got a returning guest. His name is Jason Pfeiffer. He is the editor-in-chief at Entrepreneur Magazine. Good to see you again, Jason.
Michael, good to see you.
Wow. I mean, you know, who knew I had to come all the way to New York? You had to come to Des Moines.
I know. We've now seen each other in our home states.
There you go.
I know. We're in Albany. I've never been to Albany before.
Haven't you?
No.
Neither have I. And I took the trip, you know, around the hotel,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like this is a city in transition.
Yeah, that's what the cab guy said.
Is that right?
On the way over here, yeah.
It's a city in transition, because this reminds me a lot of what Des Moines looked like, which is also a capital city, what Des Moines looked like 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Mm.
So it looks like maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. You know, who knows?
Who knows? Well, you're here to talk to community newspaper publishers, salespeople, and all kinds of folks that are in this niche for the New York Press Association. What are you telling them? Why are they paying you to come down
here? That's a good question. Well, so first of all, I came from this. I don't know if you knew that, but my background is in community news. I started at a tiny paper called The Gardner News, circulation 6,000. North Central Massachusetts. After that, I was at the Worcester Telegram and Gazette covering Central Massachusetts. So I know this world. This is my world.
Oh.
And I left it for a whole bunch of reasons. It wasn't the thing that I was really passionate about. Also, frankly, I was afraid of its longevity.
So you saw the writing on the wall, so to
Oh,
speak.
Yeah. I mean, there's a freak out. There's a constant freak out in this industry about its future and its potential and the resources available. And I get it. And, you know, this is a crowd that is often, because of where they're located, they're in small cities across America, these community newspapers. So they're not really plugged into the funding mechanisms and also really the talent flow that I, for example, have access to because I'm based in New York City. So it's a struggle. Absolutely. And yet the thing that I want to tell them is very similar to what I was telling people in Des Moines, which is that if you want to survive to the next generation, if you want your business to be around for another 25, 50, 7,500 years, you need to start thinking completely differently. You need to start thinking like entrepreneurs do, which is to say that you cannot hang on to the thing that used to work just because it used to work. Even if you like it, and even if maybe that's the reason you got into this business to begin with, because I know that the people around us today are all mission-driven. You know,
sure.
They got into community news because they believe in strong communities and the value of a free press as a central point of making those communities function. And I am not suggesting that they dismiss or walk away from that at all, but the business model has to change. And they have to start thinking about these businesses in a different way if they're going to survive a changing landscape.
And let's talk about ways in which they have been making money and the ways that they need to maybe look at making money.
Sure.
So it's been traditional display advertising.
Correct.
Right? And now then people get into the web and they have banner ads and they have all that stuff, all that guys on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, all the stuff.
Yeah,
all
the
stuff.
It drives you crazy.
Sure,
by the
all
way.
The pop-ups.
Yeah. And so, but that's changing because advertisers aren't doing that.
Right.
The communities are going away from all of that stuff that's on the website.
Google and Facebook is just absorbing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And when you want news, you can get it in loads of different places. So
sure.
What do they have to do?
I have this theory about media. And I think that it applies equally to large national media like Entrepreneur and small community newspapers like the folks who we're talking to today.
It's a big difference.
But here it is. Ready? The future of the business is not content.
Really?
I know. I love the face that you make. I always say that and people are shocked. The future of the business is not content. Now, let me break it down. I'm not saying that you move away from content. That is obviously the business. It can't be the business model. You cannot be relying upon monetizing content, period, as the future of your business. You can't do it because there are only two ways to monetize it. You either sell ads against it or you sell subscriptions, and neither of those are going up. They're not going up. Let's admit it, and let's swallow that pill, and then let's move on from there. They're not going up. So what do you do?
I'm waiting.
The answer is that you start to think about content in a different way. You start to think of the purpose of it differently. So in the old model, the purpose of content was the business. It was the monetization driver of your business, content. That cannot be true anymore. Now content is the relationship builder. People trust you because of the content. They like you. They want to be a part of you. They see you as valuable to them because of the content. So now that you've built that relationship, how do you monetize it in other ways? How do you monetize that relationship with products and services that people will buy because they trust you because of the content?
Because are you then an influencer of other products and services?
You could be a lot of different things.
Okay.
I mean, I'll give you some examples.
Yeah.
All right, so one of my favorites, and I realize this is not a local newspaper, but we'll get to local newspapers, is Atlas Obscura. I don't know if you know Atlas Obscura. It is a digital magazine or whatever you might want to call it. It's like a cabinet of curiosities. The idea is that it's about kind of weird travel things and weird history things and, you know, like the crazy world that we live in is Atlas Obscura. And it's been around for a while, and it's got a fan base, and it's been successful. And it started as a media company. You know what it's becoming now? A travel company.
Oh.
The content is still there and is still appealing to people and is still bringing people there. But that's not the thing that you're going to monetize. Instead, people associate you with smart travel, and then you sell them travel packages. So the content becomes the relationship. And why would you buy a travel package from Atlas Obscura instead of someone else? Because you trust them because of the content.
They have built that relationship with the readers.
Exactly. Entrepreneur, we are getting deeper and deeper into direct service to entrepreneurs, really helping people on a one-on-one basis grow their business. I think that's where we need to go because people trust us because of our content, but the monetization of the content is not going. We're doing fine, but it's not going up, right? That's not where it's going. So we're thinking of ourselves as a services business. Now, what can a community newspaper do? I mean, I've talked to a whole bunch of them, and I see really interesting things happening. When I was at another one of these not long ago, and I talked to the publisher of the Springfield Gazette in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
So they have built an advertising business, which is to say that if you're a local business and you want help developing an advertising campaign, you come to the advertising division of the newspaper and they will help you. They don't just take your money and run your ads. They develop your ads, and maybe they'll run it in the newspaper, or maybe you'll go run it somewhere else. Maybe you'll be a Springfield-based company that becomes a national company, and this Springfield Gazette advertising company will be the thing that drives you. They're trying to figure out what do people trust them to provide, right? And one of the things is communications. You're a communications company. Okay, how else can you monetize trust on communications? That's where you need to go. That's where you need to think. If you are a small company and you serve a community, stop thinking of yourself as purely a news provider for that community and think of yourself as the central point of that community. And once you start to make that shift, you can see all sorts of other opportunities.
All right, Walter Sanchez is a publisher in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a number of newspaper, community newspapers. So I had him on the other day, and we were talking about something very similar to this. Now, he's traditional model. He sells advertising, mm-hmm. the whole thing, and the content on the local. But what he also does is he reaches out in the community and sponsors or does a number of things that, like the Y program, and he has a basketball league,
yeah.
and he does all of this stuff
right.
that drives people to his business. Is that sort of kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, It's going to be different for every community, and it's going to change depending on what your community is, what it needs, what you can provide it. But I think that when you start thinking about other services and products that you can provide your community, you start to think bigger and differently. So, yeah, being an events-based business for your community is a great idea. If people trust you for sports, why not start a sports league, right? Why not? Just instead of covering sports, be the sports. I understand that that is difficult and uncomfortable for people, but you know what is more difficult and uncomfortable is going out of business. So start thinking differently.
All right. Now, we talked about a very niche marketing Atlas.
Atlas Obscura.
Yeah. That's a very cool name, by the way. Yeah. Atlas Obscura. Well, that already has a very... very direct niche.
Uh-huh.
What about others that... What about the dailies? What are the dailies going to do? We're here at a community newspaper event, but everybody talks about the demise of the dailies.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Can they do the same thing?
Sure. I don't see why not. Look at the Washington Post. You know where the Washington Post's revenue comes from right now? I mean, a lot of it does come from its content and from its news division, and that's fantastic. But a lot of it comes from ad tech. They've developed fantastic advertising technology that other companies are using or licensing. They have a huge division. They're an ad tech division, and that's where a lot of money is coming from. So this Washington Post company has moved very aggressively into digital, and the front-facing part of that, the consumer-facing part of that, is the amount of news gathering and news production that they're doing on digital, and they're very smart about it and very aggressive, and they're producing a ton of content across everything, podcast, video, written, whatever. But behind the scenes is an entirely different business, which is ad tech. And that's so smart. And I don't see why every daily can't do some version of that. Find the thing that you know you can provide either to your community or, in this case, to your industry, and get in there, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm just riffing here. I haven't thought about this at all. But I used to live in Massachusetts, so we got the Boston Globe. The Boston Globe is a great paper that seems to be shrinking every year. So Boston is the home of an amazing tech community, right? And I think a bioscience community or something. You become the center of that. Become the center of that with events and resources and things that people maybe will pay on an enterprise level for, and you're the hub of it,
and you've got all of the ability to spread that news.
You do
spread that. This is what we are doing.
That's right.
In this community.
That's right.
Yeah.
And everyone wants
so
that.
Why leave it up to the Chamber of Commerce or the whatever it happens to be? I mean, obviously they're involved, but rather than them doing it,
exactly,
you do it.
I mean, this is what this isn't this what other businesses do, right?
Yeah,
like you hear it all the time, right? You've got somebody is a service provider business and they've got big clients, and then one day they show up to try to sell their thing to the client, and the client says, "You know what? I really appreciate all the work that you've done for us, but we decided to take this in house, and now we're competing against you." That happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's crappy if you're on the wrong end of it, but that's business. And I think that oftentimes the news world thinks of itself as separate.
Insular. Yeah.
And for good reason, right? Because you don't want to have all these conflicts of interest that affect the way that you cover the world. You want to be seen as impartial, and I respect and get that, and that is the core trust that you've built with your audience. And I appreciate and understand it. But listen, it's not that challenging. The Washington Post writes about Amazon all the time, and it's not always flattering. Even though Jeff Bezos now owns the paper, all they do is acknowledge in the story Jeff Bezos owns the paper, and then they move along. And I think people understand it. And listen, we can't use this sense of, well, we're the news business, we're a separate business. We can't use that as an excuse for not innovating. It's a bad excuse. It may have worked in a time in which the news industry was so self-sustaining that it didn't need to think of itself in any other way, but that is not today.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get with it.
Jason Pfeiffer, ladies and gentlemen, he is the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. All right, I'm going to ask you the question, turn the tables a little bit.
Yeah.
What's Entrepreneur Magazine doing to get into this space, to become something more than just a content generator.
So some of that stuff I can tell you about, some of it I can't because some of it's not public yet, but I'll give you a sense of what we're doing. So last year we started with this small but interesting project called Ask an Expert. If you go to entrepreneur.com/expert, you can book a 30 or 60 minute session with a range of experts, including myself. I am available for booking $200 for 60 minutes. And guess what? I get to keep most of that, but Entrepreneur keeps some of it. And that is the deal that we have with all of our experts, most of whom are out of house. I just happen to be an in-house guy. And so this is...
So they can buy that advice or that forward thinking or whatever the person has.
Whatever the person has.
Wow.
So for me, because my expertise is in communications, most people come to me because they're trying to figure out a PR strategy or they're trying to figure out their personal brand or something like that. And they've been Googling around and maybe they've read a whole bunch of stories and they decided, you know what, can I just talk to somebody? Let me just talk to somebody. And so they go and they book some time and we have a one-on-one video conference conversation and people love it and I love it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing. It is so wonderful to be able to help people on a direct one-to-one level like that. So we launched this thing. We learned quite a lot from it. And now we're taking it to the next step, which is what we call Entrepreneur Insider. It's currently in beta and it'll be rolling out in kind of its full product later this year. It is a membership-based monthly subscription community, and each month, if you are a member of Entrepreneur Insider, you have access to a wide range of things. We're putting on workshops. We're bringing in major CEOs and experts to talk directly with our community. We have these regular office hours where people like me will be available for people to want to ask questions. Also, lots of different ways in which we're bringing those communities together so that we'll get, you know, eight people who are in the same industry together into a chat and on a regular basis, they can check in with each other and trade advice. We're going to be building out a resource directory. So, you know, if you are trying to figure out the right lawyer for this or that thing, that you'd have access to that. We're trying to figure out what it is that people need, and then we're going to deliver that to them, and we're going to directly help them build their business. That, to me, is
that
really...
That is totally different.
That's totally different. That's not a media company. But no. That is where this company needs to go.
To be able to survive into the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it is more than just the regurgence of facts and figures. It is actually helping people grow their business,
right,
which is what Entrepreneur is all about.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And it's what people have come to expect. I mean, people will trust us. People trust us as a media organization. But I don't think that we, as a pure media organization, can possibly help people in the way that they have come to expect to be helped in a digital age, where they can connect directly with people, right? And where they can go out and get unique advice and help for them. People are not in a world in which it's hard to reach people and you got to sift through a book. People are looking for direct help. And so that's where we need to take this business. And then we have all sorts of other things that are in the works that are along this line
of thinking. Somewhere directed towards that.
Yeah.
All right. So the big question is because everyone out there in the media business, I don't care what it is, if it's television, radio, print,
yeah,
everybody's scrambling.
Right.
Everybody's trying to make a dollar. Everybody, you know, and we have mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah.
And the whole landscape is changing in front of our eyes. I would suspect that many of these publishers, the people who are in charge, for example, in Des Moines, we don't even have a publisher of the Des Moines Register anymore. Mm. It's a regional publisher. So the question then becomes, they've got to take the time to actually know what their consumers want.
Sure.
And how do they do that? You're very intuitive. You get it. You know what your people are. I mean, that's a great example.
I'm not just intuitive. I'm talking to people constantly.
Well, right. But the fact is that I can read a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But if I'm really stuck on something, I want to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
I want a human being that I can trust and talk to. That makes sense.
Right.
So how does a publisher of anything, whatever it happens, or the news director, or the station manager, whatever it happens to be, where do they come up with this? Where do they...
Talk to your audience. I mean, talk to your audience.
What do they want?
What do you want? What do you want? I mean, so go look up Net Promoter, right? Go look up what a Net Promoter score is, and you start to you'll get all these questions. This is a process by which people are surveying their audience and understanding what people are looking for and whether or not what they value from you. If if you went away, here's a crazy question that you should be asking your users. This is the answer to this is gonna tear your heart out. Ready? Here it is. If we disappeared tomorrow, what would you do? Because some people might say, I'd probably just find the same stuff online elsewhere. And if that's the answer, you better figure something else out, because those people are going to stop paying you eventually. I mean, we just ran, this is a completely different industry, but we just ran a story by a guy who went through this process with he's a fitness consultant. He has a company that trains personal trainers. They train personal trainers in building their businesses. And he had just launched this newsletter, this print newsletter. I've never told the story before, so I'm like trying to like piece it together in my head as I go, because I just read the draft. But he launched his print newsletter. He invested quite a lot in it, and he was selling it for like $50 a month. This print newsletter,
really?
Okay, and he got, because he has a large audience of people who trust him, he got an immediate couple thousand subscribers. It was bringing in good money. It was like he had gotten it up after a few months to bringing him about $30,000 in profit a month, which was pretty good.
That's
right,
okay.
On like $80,000 of revenue. There's a lot of investment in a print newsletter, but something just didn't feel right. And so he started to poke around, eventually brought in a consultant who ran through this exercise with his audience. Things like, if this disappeared tomorrow, what would you do? And they discovered a couple of really important things. One, they discovered that their audience was actually a different audience than intended. The newsletter was intended to be for experienced personal trainers who had a number of years under them and a full slate of clients, and they were looking to take it to the next level. Instead, the people who were subscribing were new personal trainers.
Sure.
So the content was...
Because they wanted to mirror the success.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But meanwhile, the newsletter is full of, like, you know, how to start your own gym and, you know, real estate advice and stuff that wasn't relevant to these people because it was too high level for them. So already you were talking to the wrong audience. And then they asked them, okay, if this thing disappeared tomorrow, what would you do? And the answer is, well, I would just go online, because most of this stuff is available for free anyway. So that's not good, right? So now what does this mean? Well, this means that, like, all right, fine, this thing is pulling in $30,000 a month in revenue, and you could run that for a while, but it's going to die. It's not a healthy business. And to the degree that you are making money, you're making money because people are trusting you, because they trust other things that you produce, but now you're abusing their trust. And so this is going to crash into a wall. So what he decided to do was kill it. Kill it and shift the money that he was spending on it into a different product. He was going to start making $10 books that answer the questions for exactly this audience. How do you find your first clients, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a far better use of his money, and he knows it because he spent time getting to know his audience. And I guarantee you that it's so crazy. Here we are talking about newspapers. These are communications companies. And you are communicating something to your consumer, but you're not having an open dialogue with your consumer. You're not having the most important communication of all. There's a problem there. There's a problem there, and you need to fix that.
Entrepreneur Magazine is what he does. He's the editor-in-chief there. His name is Jason Pfeiffer. Jason, thank you, man, for making the trip and taking time to do this.
Hey,
I really appreciate it, always.
I'll see you in another city.
Yeah, we'll go to Cincinnati.
Yeah, we'll do a road tour.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Once again, that was Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Good times. It really was. When I was leaving New York, I went out and picked up a copy of the latest issue of Entrepreneur Magazine to read it on the flight home. You can think of it as research. And that's a wrap for another edition of the Business News Hour. For all the folks that put this thing together, that would be Chap Ramsey, our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. You need some original music for your project? We can hook you up. That easy, right? For Jason Pfeiffer, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.